Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. praise the Lord, each and every one of you on this afternoon, the third day in the new year, a new year that we've never seen before, a day that we'll never see again. Truly, my heart is rejoicing for being in the land of the living yet another year. I don't know about you. We were just listening to the song, Trust Me, by Richard Smallwood. How many are willing to trust the Lord today? Amen. Trust him in every area of your life. Just don't trust him for some things, but trust him in every area of your life. I would like to read into your hearing on today as I open my Bible. It went to Psalm 27. And our destiny focus for this week is Jesus enough? That's a question. Is Jesus enough? And this psalm I'm about to read will answer some of what Jesus is, some of what he can do for you, some of how you can get in touch with the man that has the plan. Jesus has the plan for our life. And all we have to do is govern ourselves accordingly and follow it, and we will be in his divine will. How many are looking to be in God's divine will on today? Well, go with me to Psalm 27, and it reads as well. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father, listen to this one, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Truly, if there ever was a time where we need to give God praises, where we need to render thanks unto the Lord, it is now. It is today. The Bible says, the scriptures say it. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So I'm asking a question this week. Is Jesus enough? Amen. And I see Minister Mike is on the line with us on today, and I thank God for this wonderful man of God, a man that I believe that is seeking God with all of his heart, mind, body, and soul. A man that I believe cherishes and honors God's word. A man also that I believe cherishes and honors God's people. See, people of God, we can't say we love the Lord whom we've never seen. Yes, we hate and can't get along with our brothers and sisters in Christ that we see each day of our lives. Hallelujah. We have to learn how to love one another. So we're asking a question today. Is Jesus enough? If Jesus is enough, then guess what? He should be enough for you to be able to. He should be enough for you to be able to make a sacrifice for me. He should be enough for you not to shut up your bowels of mercy and your bowels of compassion to your fellow man. So we're going to get into this discussion on today. And as you all come in the line a little bit later in the broadcast, we can ask you that same question. Is Jesus enough? But I'm going to open up with the word of prayer. I kind of deviated for a little bit, but that's okay. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you once again with a humble heart, Lord God, seeking you for your mercy, seeking you for your grace, seeking you for your direction, seeking you for your will in our life, Lord God. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you praise on this afternoon. We thank you for being yet in the land of the living. We thank you, Lord God, for our president of the United States. We thank you for our first family. We thank you for our parents. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our spouses, our wives, and our husbands. We thank you for our grandchildren. We thank you for all the governments, Lord God. We thank you for the military. We thank you for the doctors, the attorneys, the judges, Lord God, and we thank you for those that are shut up in prisons today. We thank you for those that are sick. We thank you for the bereaved families on today, God. We ask you to visit the prisons, Lord God. Comfort the downtrodden on this afternoon, Lord God. Let them know that there's yet hope. Let them know, Lord God, that you are still standing on the right hand. You're still standing at the helm. And all we have to do is reach out, Lord God. All we have to do is try to learn of you. For you say your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord God, we ask you to have mercy upon our nation as a whole. Remember us in Stockton, Lord God, and all of that murdering spirit that dwells in the city of Stockton, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, we ask you to intervene in a mighty way, Lord God. We ask you to let your blood cover this city in the name of Jesus. Let the people that are professing your name, let those that are proclaiming and declaring and decreeing the name of Jesus, let us come together, Lord God, and let us get down to business. Let us put all of our differences aside, all of our doctrines and all of our opinions and all of our isms and schisms, and let us unite, Lord God. You said in your word in Hebrews 13:1, to let brotherly love continue. How can it continue when we allow all of these things to separate us, when we allow all of these things to divide us? Lord God, we're asking for your grace on today. We're asking for your wisdom, Lord God. We're asking you to teach us, Lord God. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to be obedient. Teach us how to think on the things of others more highly than we do ourselves. And Lord God, I'm asking for a special favor today. As my granddaughter begins to board the plane within the next hour, leaving Nashville, Tennessee, flying back to California, Lord God, I'm asking you to put an angel on every wing, bring Raynell safely back to Sacramento, California, Lord God, unharmed and unhurt, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, continue to touch my sister, Danielle, Lord God. Remember all the women that are there in that prison with her, God. Remember Mr. Larry Baker, Lord God, Remember Attorney Jerry Mooney. Remember Minister Michael Lewis, who is advocating on our behalf, God. Oh, God, and while you're visiting the prison, don't forget about Angola, Louisiana. I have a son down there, God, and I need you to touch him, Lord God. Give him a new mind this year, Lord God. Give him a mind to get into the law books, Lord God. Give him a mind to quit trying to buck the system, Lord God, but to humble himself, Lord God, and realize that he can't control those people. Realize that they are human beings doing a job, Lord God. Oh, we bless you for everyone that's coming on this line on today, God. We thank you for all the ministers. We thank you for the bishops, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and all of our sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. We're going to ask the minister, Mike, Prophet Mike, to minister a little while for us on this evening. Amen. We're asking the question, is Jesus enough? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is he enough? And we want to hear from this wonderful man of God on today, and we want you to be attentive to the word on this afternoon. God bless you, Minister Mike. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God, for bringing us from the 12 into the media to the 13th. The question is for if we were not to find out if we were not to look over your life, what has he been going? What problems have you
faced? What has he done for you? Well, it's simply easy to find if you're on the phone, if you're breathing, if you're able to walk, if you're able to see, then he's more than enough meeting every one of your needs. If you're above the ground and you're yet in the land of the living, I'm quite sure you can agree, yes, he's more than enough. Just in case he isn't, we can go all the way back to the days of old when Brother Moses was walking up on the land and he had an encounter with God in the bush. And he said, hold it, you didn't gave me these things to carry out to go to your people and tell them that you want them to do certain things, but who should I tell them sent me? And he said, simply tell them I am sent you. And it's kind of ironic that God would make such a bold and broad statement. Instead of giving him a specific name, he told him to tell him, I am. The reason he says, I am, now listen close to this. He say, I am because I am whatever you need me to be. If you need help, I'm a helper. I am a helper. If you need deliverance, he's saying, I am a deliverer. If you are in need of healing, he's saying, I am a healer. If you are in need of a friend, he's saying again, I am a friend. So the question is Jesus more than enough? Well, Jesus was the I am in the beginning, because in the beginning was the word was God, and the word was God. That same word became flesh and walked among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God. So here it is, Jesus in the New Testament is robed in flesh, walking on earth, and he became I am to those that he encountered. When the blind man wanted to see, he said, okay, be it unto you, I am eyesight if you can't believe. And then he put it on the record and said, all things are possible if you can believe. Believe what? That I am what? I am able to do exceedingly abundantly all that you can ask or ever that you empowerly can imagine or you can think. And because these things don't happen in your life, it don't stop him from being I am. He's just not I am to you. Right. What I mean by that, yeah, you still got a problem smoking. You still got a problem with lying. You still got a problem fornicating. Well, he's not I am in those areas of your life because you have not allowed I am to stop you from fornicating, to stop you from lying, to stop you from smoking, and for you that's getting high, to stop you from getting high. Once you recognize him, he said, if my word abide in you and you abide in my word, you can ask what you will. Well, the word is the power of God, the strength of God, is the will of God that he dwell in you, that none should perish. So you allow that word to become alive in you, and then it will be the I am in your life. I am that I am. So whatever you need him to be, he's more than enough. So as you see, again, is Jesus more than enough? Well, there were several instances in the Bible where people encountered. The woman with the issue of blood. Here it is, the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, the woman with the issue of blood, she had exhausted all her funds. And every dollar she spent on trying to find someone that can cure her of an incurable disease. But she heard I am was in the town. Oh, yeah, she caught wind that I am was getting ready to pass by. And when she found him in the midst of the people, she got on the ground and began to press toward him. And she realized that if I could just touch the hem of the garment of I am, then he will be to me what I need him for, a deliverer, somebody to dry up this issue. And when she touched him, he blew. I am sewed up, and he felt the release in his body of his virtue going out. Yeah, he did. And he asked the question, who touched me? And the disciples became perplexed. They said, wait a minute, were all these people around? Who, what you mean? Who touched you? Can't you see? He said, no. I know. And she stood up and she said, I did. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. How? Because you accepted I am as the healing substance that you needed. Oh, yeah. So now let's look at the reference of what the scriptures say in the book of Matthew. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then he said, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Yeah, you look at it outside right now. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of quiet here in the city of Stockton. But around the globe, there have been a blast and rash of murders that had taken place. This spirit just out there acting crazy. The sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. But God is saying, look, with all this going on, I am still on the scene. If you need peace, well, guess what? Peace be still. I am peace, but you got to ask for it. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. How many of you are knocking on the door now, asking? Yeah, he ain't say beg, he said ask. So quit begging for things and ask God what you need. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart, but you got to seek me first. To get your desires, you got to seek me. So you got to put I am in the proper perspective, not begging, but asking, and then he will give you these things. Things shall be added unto you. Peace comes, wisdom comes, knowledge comes, understanding comes, faith comes, hope, charity. Above all these three, the greatest of them is charity. Where is your love? This is where we're lacking today, saints of God, people of God, you that's listening. This is what's happening with your love. Your love is being tested and proved every day with I am. Yeah, he say, if you love me, then you keep I am's word, keep my commandment. This is a problem going around throughout Christendom. We're not keeping the word of I am, but we'll hold dear to what mama say. Yeah, we will, because she's going to beat you with that belt. Or you'll do everything that your daddy tell him. Why? Because he's going to put you on punishment and take that Nintendo. He's going to take away all them gadgets, put your phone on restriction, and you fear him. But here it is. God say, hold on, you got parents that's naturally fleshly good, but yet they evil know how to give good gifts. He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who loves you more than your earthly parents ever could, yeah, will give you them that ask of him. Yeah, he said, if a son asks a daddy for some bread, will he give him a serpent? God is making a pure distinction of who he is. Yes, is Jesus more than enough? Yes, he's qualified. He's qualified to be more than enough because when he got up on the cross, yeah, notice I said when he got up, yeah, they just didn't string him up there and put him up there. He allowed them to put him on there. Yeah, so when he got up there, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, knowing he was doing it for the joy that was set before him. Well, guess what that joy was? To see us saved, to see us healed, to see us delivered. Because he said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, it was upon him. And with every one of his stripes, he declared, I am a healer. Because those stripes that I bore had no healing in it. Yeah, it had healing for Brother Mike. It had healing for Sister Adrian. It got healing for her sister, her mother, her children. Yeah, it got healing for you, your family, your loved ones, everybody that come across him that was healing in them stripes. So he's saying, I am a healer. All you got to do is look up to them stripes. Look into the heels from whence cometh your help. I am. Here's what he's trying to say. Jesus never left. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It is you that have left me. So if you need I am to be more than enough in your life, you got to come back to the cross. Come back to the cross where it happened. Get back down and look up and see what took place on the cross. You know, as a believer, we have a great injustice that was done to us because they start fastening these crosses and, you know, we start wearing them, we hang them up in the church. Or we got a picture of what Jesus looked like, either the European Jesus, which is white, or you got that black Jesus with the dreadlocks, either one or two, but it's a pretty picture that you see. No, the picture you need to remember is this one, how he was led from judgment hall to judgment hall, and it was a process called scourging that took place.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
that process, he was beaten beyond recognition. Now, he was not something pleasantly to be looked at. He had his beard plucked from his face. Now, please pay attention to this picture. He's beaten, the beard plucked from his face. He had a crown of 72 thorns. Now, those of you that are women that receive roses every now and then, they strip them things of them thorns. Why? So you won't get pricked. If you ever go and see the thorns that they shoved on his head, they didn't put it wrong with their hands. They took sticks, big old sticks, and shoved them thorns down to where it lashed into his skull, causing blood to run down his face. But it didn't stop there. It did not stop there. And then he was mocked and slapped and spat on, and then they took him to the next hall where they began to beat him and whip him. His flesh is all tore up. His face is beyond recognition. Now, that's the Jesus you need to remember, the one that suffered, bled, died, and rose. Keep him on the cross. Look at that picture daily. Keep that before the frontlets of your eyes so that you don't see this glorified one, the one with the nice-looking hair and the white robe and all that. No, no, no. The one you need to remember was that lamb innocently led from judgment hall to judgment hall, the one where he felt his daddy had forsaken him. Why? Because he was always there in the beginning. That's the one you need to stay latched on to, that's hanging up on the cross with blood streaming down his face, with his face all knotted up with body parts being missing, yes, flesh. Flesh had actually been opened up. Now, the Bible say not a bone was broken, but it never said none of his flesh was torn off his body. It didn't let you know that. But if you ever see a cat of nine tails, it has seven shards of sharp metal or either wooden beads put on the end that when it latched into your flesh and they retract it, it rips open and tears off pieces of the flesh. 280 pieces were opened up and ripped off of our Lord and Savior. He received 40 stripes times 7. 7 times 40 is 280 gaping holes in his body. This is the Jesus you need to memorize forever in your life. Then he will become, I am to you, whatever you need me to be. If you need a friend, I am a friend. If you need a deliverer, I am a deliverer. If you need a healer, I am a healer. But the best one of all, if you're in need of salvation, well, guess what? I'm the Savior. Yeah, mama can't save you. Daddy can't save you. Your pastor can't save you. Can't nobody save you. That's why Paul said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, that goes right in line of what this is all about. Seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What? You need peace added to your life? Seek ye first. If you need hope in your life, seek ye first. If you need love manifested in your life, seek ye first. Yeah, quit going to the grocery store buying them cards thinking you fit to win the lottery. Seek ye first the kingdom. Yeah, quit calling everybody, asking them to give you a word. Seek ye first the kingdom. You can get a word from God anytime that you ask for it. You ain't got to call no psychic hotline or the prayer line. You ain't got to go wait in line. All you got to do, get on your knees, humble yourself, and seek his face. He said, those that seek me early, guess what? You're going to find me. You know, the saying is, the early bird gets the worm. It's the same way in God. Don't wait till 12 o'clock to come before him when you can do it right now. Yeah, I mean, it's not that he ain't going to hear you, but his ear more attentive early in the morning, because he said, seek me early and you're going to find me. Now, he don't care what time you call, but you got to make the call. Yeah, just like you call your friends to come hang out, play cards and drink and do all that other ignorant stuff, you got to make a call to him too. You got to call. He say, whosoever shall call up on the name of the Lord. Not Buddha, not Muhammad. No, not Hare Krishna. No, not none of them dudes. They can't save you. They dead and gone. But Jesus declared, I live forever. He that was dead and alive forevermore. He say, the Lord changed not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, we're not consumed. But I am to you whatever you need me to be. So what is it that you need Jesus to be? Yeah, I know Christmas just passed. Some of you that celebrate Christmas, I don't have nothing with it, nothing against it, if that's what you want to do. So you might feel you didn't get that Christmas present that Santa Claus should have bought you. Well, the problem is you was looking for the wrong thing from the wrong person. Now, the only thing you should have gave for the month of December, the 25th, the only gift you could have actually given is your life to Christ. Yeah, we got parents that got all gang of money. They can shower you with all kind of gifts, but guess what? Ain't no happiness in that. Yeah, because heaven and earth is going to pass away. But he said, my word is going to stand forever. And the Bible says, surely we came in this world naked. Guess how we going out, y'all? You can't take none of them things with you. You can have multiple millions or billions or trillions of dollars, and when you are on your bed getting ready to take that last breath, guess what? You can ask them to bury all your money with you. But on your way to hell, it's going to burn too, just like you. So when you get ready to get up out of here, nothing on this earth is going with you, not even the body that you came in. The Bible declared it's going back to the dust from which it came, and then the air you breathe, the soul, is going back to the God that created it. Yeah. Now, the problem is you got something else to take care of. Oh, yeah. Every living soul belongs to God, he said, but the soul that sinneth, he declared, it sure, surely is going to die. But you don't have to do that today. If you seek in God with the depths of your heart, if you seek in him, not according to your understanding, because he says in the book of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path. God doesn't lead men astray. Men that's ignorant of the way lead men astray. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. That was good.
Have mercy, that was good. Can you tell, what is the salvation plan? You know, we go to different churches and we get involved in, you know, the order of what their particular church is propagating. What is the salvation plan? And we ask the question, is Jesus enough?
Uh-huh.
Is there a salvation plan for us to make him enough?
Well, yeah, there is a plan of salvation. Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, that he said, how can they hear without a preacher? It is incumbent upon every soul to find a true man of God that would deliver to you the truth, which is the word of God. According to the book of Romans, in the 9th chapter, it says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he said, you shalt be saved. He didn't say you is. He said, you shalt be. Why? For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But here's the key right here. But with the heart, man believeth. ETH is on the end of believe, meaning it is a continuous process. Yeah, I can confess today. And people say, once saved, always saved. That's not true. You can confess today, and you can backslide tomorrow. So that means you got to come right back and confess all over again. But he says, godly sorrow worketh repentance, but sorrow of the world bringeth forth death. So you got to be godly sorrow, repenting, meaning turning away from that which is no good, that which is sin. He says, all unrighteousness is sin. For with the law, there is no transgression. For sin is the transgressing of the law. What is the law? God's commandment. What is his commandment? That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the law and the commandment of God. And in doing so, then you will take that word where it tells you to confess. Confess ye your faults one to another, and then confessing your soul to God, and then you will follow the rest of the procedure. Don't stop. Then you will repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not title, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Those are not a name. That's a title. Father is a title. Son is a title. Holy Ghost is a title. He commanded them to be baptized in the name, and the disciples pulled that off, carrying the commandment that they were given when Jesus was on his way back up. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. First thing he told them, teach them. Teach them what? There are no good ways. Who they sinned against, the God of the heavens. Then he told them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That establishes your salvation, secures you in Jesus, his plan of salvation.
Okay, so after you, how do one receive? You know, you hear people talk about the Holy Spirit. Some say the Holy Spirit. Some say the Holy Ghost. How does one go about obtaining this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit? What is it? Can you give us a little highlight about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost? What is it and what does it do for the believer?
The Holy Ghost, which is the filler, which is the keeper of our salvation, it controls our destiny. It's something that you have to have. This is something to get you off the earth into the heavens. Now, Jesus said, go and wait for the promise. What was the promise? The promise was the gift of the Holy Ghost. He told this to his disciples. Now, what the Holy Ghost is, it is the power of God, the Word, living inside of you that enables you to stop, like me, lying, to stop drinking,
to stop fornicating, to stop sinning. This is what the Holy Ghost gives. It gives you the power. It don't stop you. It don't control you from stopping. It's a free will agent. It allows you. But it will remind you of the consequences of things that are going to be detrimental to you. It yields you to a consciousness of the sin. You become more aware of your sin nature. It is definitely something that you got to have, because he say if the spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you, well, that same spirit is going to raise you from the dead. So it's something you got to have. Now, there were people back in the day when I came up that put you down on the altar and made you tarry. Tarry simply means wait. They took tarry meaning you saying them all them hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus. You say anything long enough, quick enough, your tongue will get tied and start rambling. So that is not it. What the Holy Ghost is, and you can find references in the book of Acts, he fell several different kind of ways. He came by the laying on of hands, yeah, and by the spoken word. The Bible say while Peter was teaching, preaching, the Holy Ghost fell upon the Gentiles. And he said, hold it, how can any forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we who have received the Holy Ghost? How did they know? Because we hear them speaking in tongues. So the sign of having the Holy Spirit is a tongue. The evidence of having is the speaking in tongues. And for those of you that say you got it but you ain't never spoke, well, before he cracked the sky, you better learn how to speak, because that's the proof that you're getting up out of here. So you got to have the truth, which is another thing that lets you know you're going to get out of here. How is that? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. And God said, if you come up any other way than the way I have prescribed in the Bible, you're coming as a thief and a robber. And if you read Revelations in the back of the Bible, it tells you all liars, thieves, and robbers, they're going to have their part in the lake of fire. So the Holy Ghost is something you most definitely, you got to have a Holy Ghost more than you got to have a drink of water. That's how serious it is. For every person that is classifying themselves as a Christian, I more love calling you a saint more than a Christian. As a saint, a brother, or a sister, it is incumbent upon you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember, it is a gift. It's a gift from God of Jesus dwelling, living, and abiding inside of you.
Now, Minister Mike, you say it's a gift. The Holy Ghost is a gift. For some of our audience, our listeners that may be listening, and they're going to church, and they have not been told that they need the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some people are foreign to this. How would you explain this gift? I mean, what does this gift, after you receive this gift, what encounter is this gift?
Okay. Well, some people have identified the gift with crying, uncontrollable crying, jumping, shouting. But for me, it was feeling burdens, like the weight of the world was lifted off of my shoulder. I mean, yes, I cried, and I cried even more, but I spake in an unknown tongue, the evidence of God dwelling on the inside. So for to explain it to someone that has never experienced this, it's not really hard, but it would be somewhat kind of foreign. So the best that I can give to you is you could be in your shower, and you can have your mind so set on receiving this gift. Again, it's a gift. It's just like somebody walk up to you that you don't know, and they hand you some money, a gift. They're not asking nothing of you. They're not requiring. It's the same way with this gift from God. He will shower it upon you when you're ready, meaning you could be laying in your bed and receive the gift. You could be walking around your house, receive a gift. Again, you could be in the shower, receive a gift. You could be at church. You could be on a job. You can be driving in your car. It can come upon you at any time. It's where your state of mind focus in with God, wanting what he wants you to have.
Okay. Now, if it's foreign to you, you really don't know what you have, and you find yourself at some point, wherever you at, in any venue, speaking in an unknown tongue, will that experience cause you to be transformed? Will it bring a transformation in your life? What does it do? What comes with it? I know that it is tough. Does it enable you to, as I said, transform your life? Is it any power that you receive where you're able to live differently than what you normally would have lived before that experience?
Oh, yeah. One thing about the Holy Ghost, you know when he's present. You will be transformed. You will change. Now, the problem with a lot of people that's in a denomination, and this is a serious issue with God, he never came about establishing a denomination. So you might find yourself in one of those denominations that don't really teach on this, or they just touch the surface. And in doing so, you would feel out of order speaking in this new tongue. But what comes with this new tongue is direction from God. Since you're in a place that's foreign, what he will do, he will start sending people your way to identify with the gift that is inside of you, which he has given you power to change your situation and your circumstances. He has given you the insight and the wherewithal to know him. And as you begin to read, you'll start seeing different things take place that normally often didn't happen in your life, meaning here come more problems. Yeah. People have a misconception that when you got the Holy Ghost, everything is peachy cream. You might be on a high for a day, 2 days. You could even go smooth sailing for a week. But then after the honeymoon is over, you come back to the realization, hey, something has happened, and it looked like I have gotten a lot more problems than what I had. That's God letting you know, baby, you on the team. Now you got to consult me in every area of your life. Just like you get up in the morning to go eat, brush your teeth, wash your face, you got to do the same thing with God in his word.
Amen, amen. Well, I tell you, this has been a very interesting evening on this evening, and I'm sure some of our listeners and maybe even our followers would like to break this down a little bit. Is there any scripture that you can reference to our listeners where this gift, this Holy Ghost, has been, is it a promise?
Yes, it's definitely a promise. Acts, the second chapter, and verses 38 on down, and then you could go to, I jumped the gun. First mentioning of the gift is in Book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19 on down, or you could go to Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 1 all the way through. Either of the New Testaments, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, it'll reference to them going to wait for this gift. Then in the book of Acts, it picks it up. In the first chapter, it talks about the promise of this gift. Then the second chapter, it talks about the affirmation of the coming of the gift, where they receive this gift. Then verses 38 on down, it deals with the power of the acclamation of the
giving of that gift. And then in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it goes even into more detail about the specific giftings inside of a gift, meaning there are 9 functions of a gifting system inside of one. It's like getting a package, and inside of that package, you got 9 gifts. All of them belong to you, but mostly people just go and pull one out the hat. So, yes, those are the scriptures that you can find.
Very, very interesting. And we're going to open up our lines to our callers on this evening. And maybe, Dave, this is very interesting, and I didn't know this was not something that we planned. This was nowhere in our plan, and this was spur of the moment. The Lord hadn't put anybody particularly on my heart today, but as I begin to progress with the day, this particular subject was here, and we're asking a question: is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? So if we have Jesus and we don't have this Holy Ghost power that Minister Mike has been talking about, how can we possibly live right? Sister Ruby, Evangelist Lucilla, we have Evangelist Dart. I saw Evangelist Kinnaman, she's dropped off. How can we possibly live right if we don't have any power dwelling on the inside of us? How can we have power to love, power to love our neighbors as ourselves, power to live holy? How can we do that if we don't have this Holy Ghost power, what this minister has brought out in his message on today? We're going to go to Evangelist Doris, and then we're going to Sister Ruby, and then to Evangelist Brucilla. God bless you, woman of God. How are you today?
I'm blessed. You talking to me?
Yeah, Evangelist Doris.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. God bless you. It was very enlightening. I learned a lot today. I feel so blessed. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Okay. Do you have anything that you can impart to our listeners about this Holy Ghost being filled with the Spirit of God?
Oh, no.
Okay, we're going to Sister Ruby then. God bless you. We're talking about, is Jesus enough? Is he enough? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I got on late, so I heard the this is Minister Mike or
Minister Michael Lewis, yes.
Okay. So, praise the Lord, Minister Lewis. I
heard
him describe it. It was really good. He took it all through the whole Bible and everything. It gave me things to think, a thought about. You do need the Holy Ghost in order to make it and move, because it always came back from Genesis, where he said he would bring his people back into right relationship with him after they lost it in the garden. But I heard Minister Mike call a lot of scriptures, but you didn't say about the baptism. So I see you say Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now, which one are you referring? Because the plan of salvation is to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you have to be obedient in order to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that correct? I came on late, but I just thought I would throw that in there too, Minister Mike Lewis.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true. You
to expound
you came
on that,
late,
and I did
cross that one out. You know, I'm gonna bring that all the time.
Yeah, I'm saying, but I know maybe you did, but I didn't hear it, so maybe I came on late. Because I did come on real late, but I heard you expound on Matthew's 28, you know, and all like that. But the plan of salvation, according to how I perceive being saved, is about Acts 2:38, repentance. We got to repent and be baptized, every one of you, not some of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So in Acts 4, it tells you, because how do you receive the Holy Ghost? Because obedience to do God's will. So you want to expound on that just a minute for me, Minister Mike?
Oh, most certainly. That's one of my favorite scriptures, Acts 2:38, because it's the fulfillment of the Bible totality. You know, Jesus, in obedience to his dad, came down and met Brother John, who was ascribed by God to set the pace for Jesus to come. And he said he would be one crying in the wilderness, and he would be preaching the baptism of repentance. And Jesus came on the scene to his cousin, Brother John, and these were the words from John. Hey, I have need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, true, showing up, you're 100% correct. But right now, we have to fulfill all scripture in righteousness. And for those that don't know scripture, it goes from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Those are the scriptures. Jesus said, search them, for in them you think you have eternal life. Then in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the first verse, Paul says, I would not that any of y'all should be ignorant how all our fathers passed through the cloud and under the sea and was baptized by Moses. Every one of them was baptized by Moses. That means on that day, over 1 million folk were baptized. So baptism is essential to your salvation, and according to Acts 2:38, it was the fulfillment of the law, because Jesus died for the righteousness that was entangled. There was nothing wrong with the baptism. It's how one is baptized. He said, Peter, repent, be baptized, every one of you, for what? The remission. What is remission? The removal of sin, not the sins that you're committing today. Tomorrow, next week, he was talking about the Adamic sins, the sins that Adam committed in the garden by the spirit of disobedience when he, walking with his wife, allowed her to pass him the fruit, and he bit and eyes became open. That was the sin that Jesus came in the land to die for, that disobedient person. That's all of us.
Amen. And well, if you want to know about the salvation plan, you're talking to the right ones. Because Brother Micah sit with you all day on that one, Sister Ruby.
Amen. I just wanted to hear it. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Is it? You know, it's very frightening to people when they come into the church and think if they're not, they have not been groomed and they have not been reared in a church. And it's just like me. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I was raised in, well, we went to Catholic school, but my great-grandmother was a staunch Methodist, and we went to the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and that was my life. That was my upbringing. But I was always involved in some manner or another in church, you know, different denominations, but church. And when I moved to Los Angeles, I never forget my great grandmother told me to go, and she said, "You go and meet my nephew, and he's gonna help you." And truly, I got saved. He wasn't a bishop then; he was a district elder Winston Singleton. And I did not know, Sister Ruby, I'll never forget, that was in 1984, November to be exact, January 1985, and I moved to Los Angeles in November 1984. And when I went to meet him, I had my two little children, and one, my daughter was 11 years old, and my son was 7. And I saw, you know, the people acting a little strange, and, you know, I wasn't used to all that, so I said, okay, I already knew that my uncle that was living in Los Angeles, he said, now, they're home a long time. And I remember going going and church was just about over with. He said, it's all a long time, so you go, you'll catch it. And so I remember meeting this man, and I didn't know nothing about no Holy Ghost. I didn't know nothing about speaking in tongues. It was foreign to me. And even after they explained it to me, I still couldn't conceive in my mind what it really was. But I would hear the saints get up and say, oh, when you receive it, you'll have power. It'll change your life. It'll do this. It'll do that. Well, I hadn't received it. I had only received the baptism. And I went back to New Orleans, and I thought indulged in some of the things that I was doing. Well, I stayed there about a month, and I came back to Los Angeles. And when I came back, even the baptism convicted me. And I knew I had did wrong, but I didn't have the Holy Ghost, so I didn't have no power. And I couldn't understand. That's why I was asking Minister Mike to explain that, because people don't understand. So when I got back, they explained it to me a little fully, and I went in and I repented. And so the pastor, I got back into my mess. But then when I came back with a mind that I wanted that Holy Ghost. I wanted to live right. I wanted a change. And so when I came back, I remember Evangelist Priscilla, I went to tarrying service. And that's what they would do. They would tarry with it. And you had to get down there and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You know, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the Holy Ghost would fall on you. Well, as I began to grow in the Lord, I found out that you don't have to tarry.
Right.
He told them in the upper room to tarry.
That's right.
And that tarry means to wait until he sends back the comforter. That meant to wait. It didn't mean to get down there and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, something is a thing. No, the Holy Ghost is a gift.
Yeah.
And it can fall upon you. You don't have to tarry. You don't have to work. All you need is a repentant heart. That's it. Once you get a contrite spirit and a broken heart, that's what God is looking for. And those two ingredients alone will cause God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. So all you have to do really is believe the word, open up your mouth, and begin to speak. Ah, that's it. That's it. But I didn't know that. Had I known that, I wouldn't have took 6 or 8 hours down there talking about hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. If I would have known the scriptures, and that's why the Bible says, study to show yourself a fool. If you don't know this word, then you'll believe anything somebody tells you. You have to know this word for yourself. Hallelujah. And when you know it for yourself, guess what? You can go into the Buddhist temple. Hallelujah. You can go down to the mosque.
Yeah.
You can go to the Jehovah Witness Hall. You
Amen.
Can go there, baby. You can stand on what you know for yourself. Because guess what? I ain't going on what your minister has told me.
Yeah.
I'm not going on what your pastor has told me.
Yeah.
I have studied this word for myself.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm blessed in the day.
Yeah.
The devil is a lie. Somebody in your name needs to hear this message today.
Yes.
Somebody needs to know that Jesus is enough. Hallelujah. But for to make him be enough in your life, you have to go a little bit further. You have to go a little bit further.
Yes.
You can't go on just there being baptized.
Right.
You've got to go a little bit further. You need to fall.
Right.
You need all of Jesus. Oh, don't get me started here today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I thank God, because when people don't understand, that's like my mother. She don't understand. When she hears you talking in unknown, she gets a little leery. She don't understand.
Yeah.
And I have tried to explain it to her. But guess what? It's going to take maybe somebody else other than myself to really explain it to her. She has been baptized in Jesus' name, but she don't have the Holy Ghost. But I'm praying that the Lord will fill her. on Drusilla. So I'm calling and saying to Drusilla, hey, glory to God. Hey, this is, y'all got me stirred up now.
Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you, woman of God. You may and you should continue on, because I am enjoying it. You saying just the same thing I was thinking earlier as you going forward. I truly enjoyed Minister Mike Lewis. I enjoyed his teaching and his breakdown. God bless you, Minister Mike. Wonderful. And dissecting the word of God the way you did, rightly dividing that. Bless you. And also Sister Ruby, so good to hear her voice. I love you, Sister Ruby, and all the others that I'm not aware that is on this line and broadcast today. That Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you are working it, sis. You really are. It's not too much nothing left. I barely got a little piece in the bowl, and I'm getting ready to try to scrape that up. But it's all good, because where I was raised years ago in the Church of God in Christ, the Grand Old Church of God in Christ, that's the way I was taught and raised, to tarry at the altar. And it didn't make sense, but that's the way we were raised, that you would get the Holy Ghost right there at the altar. Just tarry, just keep coming to the church, to the altar. And but that's not true. You know, the Holy Ghost don't just come at no altar. But I didn't know at a younger age. But that's what it is. The Holy Ghost will meet you right where you at. I don't care if you standing up in the store in the line purchasing your
clothes.
Your calls happen. Hey, come on with it. Back up them shopping carts. Get out the way, because when all the Ghost come, hey, it's gonna hit. And ain't nothing stopping. Okay, so the Holy Ghost will come, whatever, but when it comes, ain't nobody got to come way across open seas to where to prophesy you. Did you know you had the Holy Ghost? No, ain't nobody have to tell you. You already know for sure. And here in this book here, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they was all with one accord. And they did follow instructions before they were assembled together. And they were filled. And as the Lord gave them utterance. And they was sounding like they were all drunk, on drugs or something, or alcohol. You know, they was going on and on. That's right. They were high on the rock. And it wasn't that rock that they smoke out there. I know they do. I know about all that stuff. I ain't about no smoking, no rock, no drugs. You got the wrong rock. It's the wrong rock. I'm telling all of you out there, I'm listening right now, so this is a wonderful, this is your opportunity and time to grab a hold of this rock that we're talking about, the rock of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. It is that rock, honey, and I'm telling you, back in that day and era, they had to rock, oh, they was rocking it. They was rocking it good, and I tell you, that's what it'll do. When the Holy Ghost comes, it will fill you. It will endow you. It will empower you. I believe it's in Timothy where it says, stirring up the gift of God that is in you by the putting on of my hand. This is not something that we can just do. We can't go around and imitate. This is nothing you can imitate, camouflage. It's nothing that you can mock. And that all comes from God. You can't play and try to play like somebody else got it, just say, yeah, I got it. That's the way it looks. Well, yeah, that looks easy. I can shout and roll on the floor like that. Yeah, I got it too. Yeah, no, you ain't got nothing. You need to. You need to get this rock, get a hold of this rock, because that's what's happening right now today. That's where it is. And I just wanted to say just that little bit, not too much more, because all is really to say, Minister, Mike really did take it on out in advance, but God bless you. And also, Sister Ruby, I just wanted to just sit there and enjoy. Ooh, I'm enjoying this. I'm just sitting right here in this word and enjoying this. But thank you for this time and the opportunity. And we're going to keep on. That's the way I'm going out of my Happy New Year. I'm going to keep on taking my rock. I'm holding on. You can't have mine. You get your own. But I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm going to keep on smoking. I'm going to keep on smoking it for Jesus. I'm going to smoke for Jesus this year. I'm going to get more on fire for God. And that's where I'm at. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. God bless you now, Ganser. Back to you.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, God, always, we say this sometimes a little haphazardly, that you know, the Lord always has a ram in the bush, but I'm telling you, God had a ram in the bush today because he had asked somebody else. The brother Mike is right here on the scene, and he's always, you know what God is looking for? He's looking for a willing heart. And I think Evangelist Priscilla brought that out. A perfect heart and a willing mind. No, somebody else said that somewhere along the line. I don't know if that was that church or whatever. Yeah, that was. Prophet Harrison's church, one of the ministers, ministered and said that God was looking for a perfect heart and a willing mind. And if you are willing to do the work of the Lord, God is always ready to bless us. He's always ready to meet us at our point of need. And this teaching is really needed because you don't hear people teaching on the plan of salvation. You don't hear people teaching on what must I do to be saved. You know, there's no more formula. The church is becoming secular now. They're catering to our emotions. They're putting on musicals. You know, people want to come in and feel good. They want to do a dance. And some of them come in here and bring the dance they're doing in the nightclub. They're doing it in the church. That's not holy. That's not God. God ain't getting no pleasure out of that. Don't bring your dance that you're doing in the nightclub. Don't bring it to the house of prayer. Don't bring it to the holy temple. Leave it at the nightclub. If you won't do that kind of dance, go on to the nightclub. And it makes me sick when I see the young people. And, you know, we don't have nothing against them praising and magnifying God. But don't make mockery of God. Don't make mockery of God. God is a holy God. Lift up holy hands. Hallelujah. Dance as unto the Lord. Don't dance to show your shape and your figure or to show the people you know the latest craze or the latest that. Well, go on to the nightclub. That's where you go and get down with that kind of stuff. But when you come to God, we should have a reverence for God's house. We should reverence the house of God. We should reverence the saints of God. I can't talk to the saints no any kind of way. I can't dishonor God's building. I can't dishonor his temple. Our body is the temple of the living God. Amen. And any time we dishonor our body, we are dishonoring God. Hallelujah. So we're going to have some more discussion. We're going to have some more teaching on the salvation. It's time for us to get saved. It's time for us to God. I'm asking the question, is Jesus enough? Well, if Jesus is enough, then you ought to want to study about him. You ought to want to learn more about him. You ought to want to know, like Mike said, hallelujah, when you're attracted to somebody. Hallelujah. You try to do everything you can to make everything all in line. You want your makeup to be right, Evangelist Lucilla. You want your hair to be together. Oh, and you want to have on some clean clothes and looking good. Because guess what? You're trying to make a statement. Hey, well, what about Jesus? Hallelujah. He said, come unto me. Yeah. Oh, ye that are laden, that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come expecting something. Hallelujah. Take me to the thing. Have a man have a song saying, take me to the thing. Well, you're not going to the king in any kind of way. When King, oh, Lord, have mercy, I got to stop. Because I feel free coming on. Oh, when I think about Queen Esther, hallelujah, she wasn't a queen when she went before the king.
Right.
But the king called her a queen. He said, come, Queen Esther, hallelujah, what can I do for you today? Ah, yeah, when you're getting ready to go see your Lord and Savior, when you're getting ready to talk to the Lord, you ain't going to the Lord with no foolishness. When you need something from the Lord, hallelujah, you're going in the right way. You're going in with a humble spirit because that's what he's looking for. He's looking for some humility. He's looking for you to humble yourself. He's looking for will come in foul and arrogant like you all the great I am. Mike has already preached about I am. He said, I am that I am.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Everything that you have me know, I am that and more. So I'm answering the question. And I'm answering. Brother Mike can answer this today. Is Jesus enough? He said, I am. Mike said, everything that you want him to be, he's that and even more. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless the Lord today.
Yeah.
Lord, I'll be no concern. I'm Sister Ruby.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, Sister Ruby. Lord, I'm first time be going to testify. And she said, you're wide up preaching. I can't help any badness, Lucille.
Yeah.
Oh, this word, when you begin to think on the goodness of Jesus, when you begin to think of where he brought you from, hallelujah, he brought me out the streets of New Orleans. Some of my school friends, some of my neighborhood friends I grew up with and was raised up, some of them dead. Some of them strung out on drugs. Some of them locked up in prison for the rest of it. Oh, God. Sister Ruby, when I go down there to visit my son, sometimes I hate to go because I see every New Orleans in the prison and they know me. You know my nickname, you're looking good. I said, well, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'm looking good because I gave my life to the Lord. I ain't looking good because it's fucking no good thing Adrian has done. But the Lord has preserved me when I gave my life to it. God has preserved you. Hallelujah. You said, I beautify the meek. You said, I beautify the meek. Oh, but you got to come meekly. You got to be lowly with the Lord. My Uncle Alfred said, stay low, Adrian. Because he said, a low man, you don't have to have a word off on it. But he said, you stay low. Hallelujah. You know you ain't got to fall. Because a low man is right there on the ground. But you know what? When you climbing up on the ladder of success, sometimes God is blessing us in the natural realm, and then we begin to look down on folks. Hallelujah! As we climb the ladder, but I had an uncle, he's dead and gone now, my mother's brother, and he used to tell us. He said, the same folks, you see why you're going up.
Right.
He said, you're going to see them when you come now.
Right.
If you don't treat people right, hallelujah, if you don't humble yourself, God, hallelujah, will cause you to be like Huston Dustin. And we all know about him. He had a great fall. Oh, but if you keep your mind and keep your eyes focused on Jesus, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is more than enough. Oh, Lord, I bless you again. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop. Because I feel something moving out in my spirit. Oh, I bless the Lord today. I thank him for Blind Talk Radio. I thank him for this wonderful opportunity to tell somebody that Jesus saved. We're not on here trying to trash nobody. We're not on here to make nobody feel bad. We're not on here to dishonor the saints of God. We're not on here to ridicule and make anybody feel small or feel little. We're here to encourage you. We're here to inspire you. We're here to enhance and enrich and empower your life. Hallelujah, where you can pursue your destiny. We have a destiny to pursue, and that destiny is in Christ Jesus, Sister Ruby. We can't go no other way. We got to go the way of the cross. We can't go no other way. Mike said, the picture Jesus on the cross. Don't pick him as the blue-eyed, blind-haired man. Don't pick him
not at all.
Him when he's suffering.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We got to picture Jesus in his suffering.
Yeah.
And when we can picture him in his suffering, then guess what? He'll humble us.
Yes.
He'll make us more appreciative. He'll make us more thankful.
Yes.
He'll make us more loving. He'll make us more kind. He'll make us more meek. He'll make us more gentle.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Bible said, love lifted me, Jesus.
Yes.
says, I'll be lifted up. I'll draw men unto me. All you got to do is lift me up. When you begin to praise God, when you begin to lift God up, guess what? Folks will know you. Hallelujah. He said, let your light so shine. And men may see your good works. And that they will glorify, not you, but they will glorify the Father that is in me. The Father lives in me. The Father walks in me. Oh, God, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't know how to live right. I wouldn't know how to treat my neighbor right. I wouldn't know how to be kind to my children. I wouldn't know how to love my neighbors as myself. Oh, God, I bless you today. Oh, we thank God for Minister Mike today. He done broke that word down. He done broke it down. And I'm telling you, if you out in radio land today, those that have not heard this message, sign that on the heart. Put that into the archive. And pull up January 3rd, 2013. Pull it up. Hallelujah. Don't you sign only. Hallelujah. We're talking about the salvation plan. It is Jesus enough. Amen. We thank God for Minister Michael Lewis, Prophet Michael Lewis, on this evening. I tell you, he has ministered under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We thank God for Evangelist Lucilla. We thank God for Sister Ruby Larry. We thank God for Evangelist Doris. I saw Evangelist Cinnamon a little bit earlier. And I thank God for my sister Dawn. Oh, I bless the Lord today. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. Amen. We're going to go back. Hallelujah. And we're going to have final remarks from Minister Mike. And I'm going to ask him to close us out with a word of prayer. Is it any more? Do anybody have any prayer requests on the line today? Before we end, it just hit my spirit to ask you all, anybody have any prayer requests today? Ah, hallelujah. Well, I have one.
Yes.
I want the Lord to open up the mind of my son. I want the Lord to save my son. I want my son to go into the population and be able to have access to the law library and get out his mind and do something for himself this year. But most of all, I want God to save him right where he at. I want him to quit trying to buck the system. That's my prayer. Every time you look, he on lockdown or this down and all this old crazy stuff. He'll be 37 years old this year. He ain't no boy no more. You're a full-grown man. You can't whip those folks. Get on in there and buckle on and do what God would have you to do. So I'm asking Minister Mike to pray for my son Jamal on today, and I'm asking you all to remember my sister Danielle. I just believe down in my spirit, I believe this is a year of release, and I'm claiming it for Danielle this year, a year of release. I want the Lord to bless my mother to be able to see Danielle free and living a life in freedom. Hallelujah. And even with Sister Ruby said last evening that she'll be out and she'll be preaching the gospel, I'm holding on to that, Sister Ruby, because I believe God's going to bring it to pass. Minister Mike.
Praise the Lord again. Yeah. You know, it's kind of ironic. Sister Adrian just said a mouthful.
Uh-huh.
And, but the ending was the request of that prayer. You know,
uh-huh,
I just want to hear a very small testimony. I went to see Danielle for New Year's along with her mother, her daughter, and one of her great nephews. And I put a request before Danielle. I say, Danielle, I want you to promise me sitting right here right now that when you get out, you take me to Washington with you. And she looked at me like I had lost my mind. I said, no, seriously. When you get out, I need you to tell me this right now, because I don't want no fights, no arguments, but when you go to Washington to meet the president, I want to walk up there with you. And then I said, when you go out through all the cities and the different states where they're going to have you talking, I want to be on that ticket. I want you to promise me right now that I'm going to go with you. And she said, okay, Brother Mike, you can go. I'm like, all right. That's all I needed to hear. Why? Because that's faith. And one thing about faith, God said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can ask what you will. You command that mountain to move, and guess what? That mountain got to go.
Amen.
And I was sharing with this gentleman that's beginning to help in some of the areas. I told him, you know, the family have been fighting for Danielle for 19 years, going on 20.
Uh-huh.
We didn't put requests to NAACP, National Action Network. We didn't talk to Ben Jealous and all these folk that can do something, and they ain't done nothing. But my prayer was to God this. I say, Lord, I want you to connect us with somebody that knows somebody that can reach somebody that needs to do something. And I believe we have found someone that God has placed in our midst, and he's working diligently, so we want to lift him up too. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to touch the hearts of those in which this family is encompassed around Danielle. Those things that need to be done in the high places, God, we pulling down those strongholds right now. Every spirit that exalts itself, that opposes itself against your will, we bringing it to the obedience of your word. We command them to loose in the elements. Loose her right now. Cause your daughter to be free. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we give you the praise, Father. Now you told us if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. And we know if you hear us, we have that petition that's desired of you. You heard the petition of a mother for her son Jamal. God, I'm praying, touching and agreeing with her prayer right now, that you saturate his mind with your spirit, God, that you feed his intuition, God, to seek you with his whole heart, not a piece of part of him, God, but we praying that you get the fullness of him right now, even in the prison where he's walking, sleeping, talking, laying, eating, God, where he abides, you meet him right now. Send your word, God, and it heals him, as you did with the centurion. We're praying right now that you send your word and heal my brother Jamal right now, from the crown of his head even to the sole of his feet. Cause him to hear your voice. Know your name. We pray a hedge of protection, God. And sometimes he's lashing out because of those that's around him. But we asking you to give him peace. Give him peace all around his perimeter, around his sleeping quarters, even as he walk in and out amongst the population. Give him peace, God. Let not hurt, harm, or danger come nigh his dwelling. Why? You said the promise was not only unto Adrian, but that promise was unto her, her children, and her children's children, as many as are afar off, that you shall call. Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit dwells in her, abides in her, rests in her. And you said, if my word abide in you and I in your word, ask, and it shall be done. So, Father, we ask you. Now, we leave it up to you that you hasten to perform the very word that you have presented. We're careful to give you the glory. We give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Now, Father, those that are on the airways, everybody that's still listening, God, we send a special prayer for them, that you meet them in their need. Become the I am of the life. And if you already is the I am, continue to be that I am. Meet them financially, physically, socially, in every area, God. Touch everything that they set their hand to do. But most of all, Father, keep them all in the center of your will. Those that need healing, we thank you that they're healed. Those that need deliverance, we thank you that they're delivered, their family, their loved ones, near and far. We pray for their bloodline. Save them before it's everlasting too late. Father, and once again, we're careful. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In all that we say and do, we give you the praise. This we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed with this prayer said, Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Truly, we thank God for the wonderful Spirit of God being on this airwaves on today. So our listeners and our audience, again, we just like to announce to you that we will be undertaking a serious project. And we, how many know we need prayer? And prayer will change things. But we, some things, the Bible say, come out through fasting and prayer. So we're embarking upon a 21-day fast, and we're starting this on Sunday, January the 6th. We're going to be on a 21-day fast, and those of you that would like to undergo this fasting, 21-day fast with us, please let us know who you are, and we certainly will be praying 24/7 for you and your family and all of the needs that we have. We're going to, tomorrow, we're going to ask for some specific prayer requests. And while we're on this 21-day fast, I want you all to get a list together. And we're going to give you time to tell us what you're seeking and fasting about during this. Because 21, you have to have a purpose. You have to have a goal in mind. You know, you just don't come before the Lord and say, oh, I'm just going to pray. No, you have to be specific. The Bible said, make your request known. So when you begin to petition God and you begin to request it and speak what it is that you want God to do for you on this year, in this 21-day fast, we're going to be fasting and we're going to be consecrating ourselves and we're going to be meditating and we're going to be spending some time with the Lord. I wish I had a place that we all can just gather together and all know what we all are seeking God on, because truly this city needs prayer. And not only this city, the state of California needs prayer. The nation needs prayer. We need to pray like never before. They say this is a year of rebellion. This is going to be a terrible year. But guess what? For the saints of God, I'm declaring, I'm decreeing, we're going to walk in victory every day. We're going to be the head and not the tail. We're going to be able to stand on the mountaintop and tell that Jesus saves to the utmost. I'm looking for some great things to happen out of this day. So we want you all to know we're starting on Sunday, January the 6th, and Sunday is an easy day to pass because most of us are in the house of worship for 3 and 4 hours sometimes. So it's easy to fast. It's an easy time to fast on Sunday. So we want you all to get with us and do that. So tomorrow we're going to have a little different, and we're going to shift a little bit. Like Sister Lucilla said, this is going to be a paradigm shift on tomorrow, but we're going to close out the week. Is Jesus enough? And we're going to start preparing ourselves to go on this 21-day fast. We're asking you to refrain from chocolates and candy and all of this sugar and caffeine. We're asking you to consume water and liquids and vegetables, green vegetables, and if you possibly can, if you need to eat one meal a day, and let that be a wholesome meal of vegetable and maybe some fish. Fish to put protein in your body. So, you know, try to refrain from it. No fried foods at all. No fried foods. We don't want to do no fried foods. We want to get some leafy green vegetables and fruits in our systems and water and just cleanse ourselves. And once we do that, I want to submit to you and challenge you to do this once a week or once or twice a week. Fast, get to a fast day together. My fast day is Wednesday. Get you a fast day. And if you can go 2 days a week, I tell you, you will see some things happening in your life, not just in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm. And begin to read the Bible. Set aside an hour a day and read your Bible. And set another hour aside to become intimate with the Lord.
set an hour aside where you can talk to Jesus. And then after you begin to talk, after you finish talking with Jesus, then you wait on him to talk back with you. Let's commune with the Lord this month. Hallelujah. We're expecting some great things. I thank the Lord for Sister Ruby, and I thank the Lord for Evangelist Priscilla coming in and fellowshipping with us. We praise God for it, and, you know, and even her standing in my stead trying to help when I'm not available. You know, we continue to pray for Evangelist God for and what she's going through. But I thank God because God always has people that's willing to step up. Ah, hallelujah, willing to step up. You don't have to ask them. They just see the need and they ask, what can I do? And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for some willing people this year. And I thank God for Sister Ruby. Our God is blessing her to get back out to witness and talk to people. And I'm looking for God to do some great and mighty things in Sister Ruby's life because she loves witnessing. When you begin to talk about souls and talk about witnessing, Sister Ruby light up. Oh, hallelujah. You know when people love things because they get excited about it. So we thank God for that on today. So we're going to let you go. So we're going to close out. This is an old fancy song of mine that I love. And by John. So let this song minister to your heart. God bless you all. Well, there you go. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a Jesus day.
I decided to take a step, not knowing I'd lose my best friend. But I'd rather live right than in hell lift up my eyes. Oh, God's children just tell somebody, say, you stand. Yeah, Lord, yeah. Stand for holiness.
For holiness. Oh. And for righteousness.
And be counted,
and be counted among them that shall reign with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stand with Christ our Lord.
Oh.
Stand with your all.
And
believe he shall receive his own.
Take a stand, not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, I'd rather live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of our children just stand, stand. Everybody say it, you stand. Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
Oh, stand.
The prince our God.
now. You gotta move, gonna do it now. Point to somebody, say, you stand. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, everybody. Clap your hands, everybody. Hallelujah.